1 John chapter 5, the epistle of 1 John chapter number 5, and we'll be looking at one verse, verse number 10. 1 John 5, verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Speaking this morning on the subject, an official indictment against unbelief. Shall we pray? Father, speak to our hearts now and help us to declare clearly and powerfully your word. May the Holy Spirit send, Lord, the Holy Spirit, that by his presence and power, hearts and lives will be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. No doubt if Jesus were on earth today, he would find many people for whom he would pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is no doubt true of many who are living in great sin that they do it ignorantly, not knowing or realizing the full measure of their guilt in the sight of Almighty God. It is the duty of the Christian pastor, and indeed all Christians, to render sins of ignorance impossible by imparting scriptural knowledge, by shining the spotlight of scriptural truth. God has called upon all of us to be light, and therefore we must let men know that what they are doing, whether it be right or wrong, whether it be pleasing or unpleasing in the sight of God, we must never permit wrong to go on in the dark. If people commit sin, we must at least let them know what's involved in that. For the soul to be without knowledge of truth is not good. It is not meet that any man should continue in darkness now that the true light has dawned upon mankind. It is certainly true that our testimony will not always be received, for men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But our duty as Christians remain the same. We are to bear witness of the truth, and we are to be in the hands of God the instruments of convincing the world of the exceeding sinfulness of sin. The great sin of not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is often spoken of very lightly and in a trifling spirit, as though it was scarcely any sin at all. I was visiting a dear grandmother this week who told of her son, who now has grandchildren, making a remark to a neighbor who was visiting her recently. The remark was this: I don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the mother, upon hearing that statement, said, my heart broke, and I said to my son, son, if you really believe that, you are headed straight for hell. And I applaud that mother for saying that. This man's father was a believer, his mother was a believer, and he himself has made a profession earlier in life and has been baptized and joined the church. But now, having left the church and raising his children out of church, and influencing his grandchildren to have nothing to do with God, he is telling his mother's neighbor that he does not believe in Jesus Christ. According to my text, and indeed according to the whole tenor of the scriptures, unbelief is calling God a liar. And what can be worse? It is my desire that every unbeliever see his unbelief in its true colors. And perhaps as the Spirit of God enables him to see the evil of his past unbelief, He will be so shocked at himself and horrified by his crime that he will continue in it no longer, but he will yield himself to the truth and today believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son, as his Lord and Savior. When the human race had been lost by sin, it was infinite mercy on God's part to provide a way of salvation. We have been singing about grace all morning today. And what an appropriate theme for this message. In abounding grace and mercy, God has set forth his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for sin. And he bids guilty men to believe in him as the atoning sacrifice and see in him the love of God manifested. He bids sinners lay hold on eternal life by accepting Jesus Christ by faith as their Lord, their Master, their Savior. Now, had not man been very vile and grossly wicked at heart, he would have leaped for joy at the proclamation of the gospel and would have believed at once the truth to which God bears witness. But being desperately set on living a life of sin, he does not believe in Jesus Christ. And if you preach Jesus to him and set the crucified one before him, yet still he remains in his unbelief and rejects the Redeemer of mankind. Now I wish to bring every man who is in that condition to look at himself as in a mirror this morning and see clearly what he is doing. I want him to feel as he hears this message, yes, I see what I'm doing. By not receiving Christ, I am despising the blood of atonement. And I am telling God to his face that he is a liar. On the sea of life, it is always good to know our location. As to our longevity, or not longevity, longitude. I'll get it right here in a minute. You have the hurricanes coming, you pull out your maps and you check the longitude and the latitude. You check the position where it is east and west and north and south, and you can pretty much pinpoint where that storm is. I want you to pinpoint where you are this morning spiritually. Many bankruptcies arise from careless business practices. And in such cases, it often is the case that the account books are not consulted often enough. And people make decisions with their eyes half open, hoping things will turn out okay, regardless of the high risks that are being taken. It's always good for a man to know who he is and what he is and where he's headed if he stays the course. Today, I want you to pull out your spiritual GPS and listen to what it tells you, where you're headed, where you are, and where you're headed. I would plead with the unbeliever today to look well to his position to see how God regards it and to judge himself that he be not judged. I want to present the truth today, though it may be a stern truth. I believe there is such a thing as pitying sinners and comforting them till they consider themselves to be no longer blameworthy and even regard themselves as unhappy people who just deserve sympathy. Some time ago, I talked with one who was troubled. I gave to him the plan of salvation. And after much battling, I brought him to this point. This is the way of salvation. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. And he replied, I just can't believe it. And I said, is it that you can't believe it or that you won't believe it? Let me ask it of you this morning. Is there anyone here today who is willing to stand up in the sight of God in this congregation and declare to him that you cannot believe in him? Which is the same thing as saying, in other words, that God is a liar. Rise up, let us hear what you have to say in your heart. by your unbelief, you are calling God a liar, and you are saying it every moment you remain in unbelief. May the Holy Spirit of God make you to see that. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Let me look briefly at the sinner's inability to believe. He says, I cannot believe. He says it often. He quietens his conscience with that remark. He may even quote a scripture to back up his excuse, like the words of Jesus when he said, no man cometh to me except the Father who sent me draw him. John 6:44. To which we reply that the words of our Lord are always weighty, and we would not rest one of them for a moment. But our Lord explains his own words in another place where he says, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. John 5:40. In John 12:32, he says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. In Matthew 11:28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God wants all to regret their sin and their wrongdoing and to turn from it and receive his Son as their Lord and Savior. And so then the sinner's inability lies in his will. It is because he will not that he cannot. Let every sinner be assured of this, and let his conscience confirm the truth of this statement. You have said, I cannot believe. But it would be more honest if you had said, I will not believe. Your unbelief is on you. You must own it. It is your fault. And it is an atrocious offense against the God of truth. Let me take this apart and show you why you cannot believe this morning. That inability, which you say you have, lies in the fact that you do not care to think about the matter at all. A great many do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because they do not care about their souls and they do not see the importance of being saved. You give your minds and hearts to your business. You believe in your business. You believe in the almighty dollar. You give your minds and your hearts to your pleasure. You believe in that. You give your minds and your hearts to your sin. You believe in that. And yet, living for God is not even on your radar. And this is the source of a large portion of unbelief. Most of those who say they don't believe have never seriously studied the Bible and the evidences of its being the revelation of God. They rail at what they do not understand, and they condemn offhand what they have never studied. Others, however, will say, oh yes, I believe the Bible. Why then do you not believe in Jesus? It must be because you do not think the gospel message important enough to be obeyed. And in so doing, you're giving God the lie, because you're telling him that your soul is not as precious as he says it is. Neither is your state so perilous as he declares it to be. Let me illustrate. You go to the doctor, and your doctor says you have a dread disease, and you're dying. He says, here's the medicine that will cure your disease. It's the only medicine that will save your life, only treatment we've known that works. You will die if you don't take it. Suppose you don't take the medicine. I think I would be right in saying that no matter how you may view the matter, you are giving the lie to that physician in the most practical manner. You may not say it in so many words. I'm not as bad as you say I am. I do not believe in your medicine. But by refusing to take it, you are saying so most unmistakably. The physician will understand even if you don't say a word. And as he sees you die before his very eyes, he will feel that your death lies at your own door. In refusing the medicine, you signed your own death warrant. There was nothing more he could do. And so it is in refusing Christ. You as good as tell the Lord that he makes too much of it. In your estimation, your farm, your merchandise, your job, your pleasures are far more worthy of your attention than he. And by your neglect of this great salvation, you're declaring that you, contrary to what God has said, are not in any pressing danger and do not stand in any urgent need of a Savior. You also declare that pardon of sin, the favor of God, the hope of heaven, are not worthy to be sought first and foremost above everything. Neither is Jesus the chief among 10,000 to you, nor is his love needful to make you truly happy. In all these points and many others, your carelessness gives the Lord the lie. That's your position, and if you cannot be swayed from it, you shall die in your sins. A second reason of the sinner's inability to believe lies in the fact that the gospel is true. No, you say, if it's true, I'd believe it. But what does Jesus say? John 8:45, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. In verse 24, he said, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Strange reason for not believing a statement, because it's true. And yet there are thousands of individuals this morning whose capacity for believing a lie is enormous, but they have no ability whatever to believe the truth. Religious imposters are on the rise everywhere. And many people who have heard the gospel from their youth up and have not received it because it is true have become the dupes of cults and false doctrines all over this planet. The truth did not suit their nature. Repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ did not suit them. But no sooner was a lie from the father of lies brought to their attention, but they leaped at it like a fish leaping out of the pond to catch a fly. Oh, it's so much easier for people to believe a lie than to accept the truth. You don't have to have a large throat to swallow the truth. Like that great truth, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You don't have to have a really big throat to swallow that. But I tell you what, when you get to talking about a man coming from some primeval protoplasm crawling up out of a misty bog somewhere and start walking, becoming a man, I had some relatives that probably swung by their necks. I didn't have any that swung by their tails, I can tell you for sure. But a lot of people have bought into that lie. Satan is having a field day. That creed requires the swallow of a greater fish than that which swallowed Jonah. A lie, people will believe. But the gospel, because it's true, is often rejected. Some people are so in the habit of accepting no teaching but that which chimes in with their depraved appetites that they reject outright and cannot endure the truth of the gospel. If we were to trim it down a little, if we were to add in a substantial amount of human error and immorality and opinion and cut it in such a fashion as would suit the world and suit them, they would accept it. Jesus said, if you were of the world would love you. But you're not of the world. I have chosen you out of the world, and therefore the world hateth you. Are you hated today by the world? Or are you getting along really well with it? Oh, listen. To preach another gospel will only deceive you. A third reason people don't receive the gospel is because it's despised. The gospel is sneered at by the ungodly, and the majority of mankind ridicule it, and therefore cowards will turn their backs and walk away from it. If those whom the world calls great men and women followed after Jesus, then it would be a popular thing to believe in him. If the Hollywood actors believed in him, then I would consider him. If the rock stars believed in him, then I would consider it. Well, if the rock stars believed in Jesus, they'd get out of that mess. If my college professor believed in him, then I would believe. If the kings and the prime ministers of the world testified of him, then I would believe in him. What did they say in Christ's day? Have any of the rulers believed him? The opinion of the rulers seemed to carry more weight than the witnesses of God. Hey, what does our president say? What does Washington say? What does the school teacher say? People set more store by the judgment of men than by the declarations of God. They will believe their stockbroker or that immoral neighbor, that ungodly boyfriend or girlfriend who are as fallible as themselves. But God, they will not believe. And this is no small offense, to be ready to accept the verdict of your friends, but not ready to accept the declarations of God Almighty. Number four, many do not believe the gospel because they are much too proud to believe. You see, the gospel is a humbling thing. It says to the sinner, you have broken God's law, you're under the sentence of condemnation. John 3:18, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you are saved, you must be saved as a sinner or not at all. For Christ has not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. You must be saved through the merits of another. You must be washed from your sins in the precious blood of Jesus. It must be by grace and grace alone. And because he will not believe this, the sinner is so proud, it offends him. It goes against the grain, and he will not endure it. If there were some great thing for you to do that others could not do, you'd gladly do that to be saved, because you'd get some notoriety. But because there's nothing for you to do but accept what another has done, you will not have it. That detestable pride is at the bottom of many refusals to accept the free gift of God's grace. Is this the secret of your inability to believe? Does pride excuse you? No, it doesn't excuse you. It only makes your offense the greater. Another reason why men cannot believe God's testimony concerning Jesus lies in the holiness of the gospel. If the gospel came to them and said, you can confess your sins and obtain absolution, and then just go on and continue in your sin, you got a free license now for the rest of your life to just live in sin, that would suit many people today, and that's the way many are living. This is the religion for men and women who want to continue in sin. It's the most attractive religion the devil himself could invent, and it shows his genius and his lying. Human nature rejoices in a religion that gives you a license to continue in sin. Jude verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Lasciviousness means lustful, lewd behavior, disregarding sexual restraints. Ungodly men and evil women rejoicing in that religion. But that is not the religion of Christ. The gospel says to man, you must forsake your evil ways. You must be born again. The gospel cries out, repent! Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. The gospel proclaims Jesus who saves men from their sins. But many today do not want that. The impurity of their hearts is that which makes it hard to believe the gospel. Oh, souls this morning, listen, hear this truth. When you say, I can't believe, it is either because you are too careless or else because your nature is too deceitful and too impure and immoral to accept this truth. It would be easy enough to believe of these things if these things were gone from your life. Do the angels find it difficult to believe? Would pure spirits find it difficult to believe? No, sin lies at the foundation of unbelief. You would not expect a vicious man to believe in the pleasures of purity and humility. Loose, wicked men even deny that anyone is pure. What an opinion bad men have of all mankind. Why think they so ill of others? Because they judge themselves by themselves. You see, when a dove flies over a landscape, it sees clear streams and beautiful waving fields of wheat and corn. But when a buzzard passes over the same landscape, what does it see? It sees a dead horse over here, a deer carcass over there, a roadkill back yonder. It gets all excited about that. Everybody sees what he wants to see. A graceless, impure-minded man or woman cannot see purity or the value of it. Christ said to the proud Pharisee, how can ye believe that receive honor one of another? Their pride stood in the way. In every case in which man declared concerning the Lord Jesus, I cannot believe, the difficulty was in himself. The difficulty is not in the facts to believe, nor in the evidence of these facts. There's only one excuse for unbelief, and only one. How can they believe in him of whom they've not heard? Some heathen may be able to say that. But my friends, you cannot say that today. You have heard about Jesus. You know the gospel. So that the only excuse that can be accepted is not for you. You are without excuse. Oh, of you it must be said, he that believeth not hath made God a liar. How sad. How sad. How is it with you today? I could go on for another hour with this message. I may have to do a part two. But I have told you enough, I believe, this morning for you to understand that if you do not believe the gospel, that is on you. There's enough evidence out there. Jesus said, if you don't believe me, just believe for the work's sake. Look at the miracles. The dead being raised, the blind receiving sight, the deaf hearing, the lepers cleansed. Only God could do that. Look at the resurrection. Many of his brothers didn't even believe on him. In his own family, there was unbelief until he rose from the dead. But after the resurrection, those same people lined up behind Jesus to give their lives as martyrs for the gospel of Jesus Christ they believed in and loved. Don't tell me you can't believe. God said, whosoever will, let him come. You see, that gets down to the nitty-gritty. You will not. And that's the reason you won't. It's not that you can't, because you could if you would. You could if you would. That's the reason Joshua said one day, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What about you and your house? Are you ready to cast your anchor on Calvary? Are you ready to say to Jesus, yes, I believe in you. I'm going to trust you today. I'm going to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Never let it be said that I called God a liar. Never let it be said that I didn't believe the record that God gave of His Son. I believe today, and I'm going to believe enough to receive Him as my Savior. I'm not going to be ashamed of Him. I'm going to openly confess Him as my Lord and my God. Will you do that today? Do you believe in Him? Or will you turn and walk away? If you're here today without Jesus, oh, I beg you today, come to Him. Come to Him. Come. Come. The Spirit says to come. The bride says to come. His word says to come. Come. For not to come is saying to God, I really don't think you're telling me the truth. I really don't think you'd save me. And you're making God a liar. Don't do that. You're treading on thin ice when you go to mocking God and accusing God. Come today. Every head bowed, every eye closed.